Grace and peace to you on this Thirsty Thursday in Advent. We are here looking at Matthew chapter 11, 2 to 11, the theme on preparing the way for the Lord. Again, using an LWR resource to help guide our conversation on preparing room for this Jesus, the one who calls us to full life, to true grace in action. Well, we'll look at Matthew 11 here in a second, but before I do, I want to share these words about some work in Guatemala. With the sixth highest level of chronic malnutrition in the world, and the highest in Latin America and the Caribbean, hunger is a true crisis in Guatemala. Nearly half of children under 5 are stunted during their most critical growing years. It's also a country prone to extreme weather, which devastates farming lands and leaves communities without enough income or food. Compounding this are the high levels of inequality and poverty, creating a vicious cycle of poverty. Since the 1990s, Lutheran World Relief has been working hand in hand with communities and local partners to help break the chains of poverty, supporting families to improve their health and nutrition, training farmers on environmentally sustainable practices that result in larger, high-quality crops, and teaching Guatemalans how to access sources of credit and sell their produce in larger and more profitable markets. By addressing the root causes of migration, poverty, and malnutrition through a holistic approach, LWR is using your love and the resources we give to transform communities, uncovering resilience and thriving futures, and rediscovering hope. Now, did you catch that? They're using your love to transform communities, uncovering resilience that's already there, and thriving futures that are emerging by rediscovering hope. That right there is a mouthful. That stokes the imagination. And I think that is part of the work of the church in our world. Of course, education is a key component to everything that LWR does. And in Guatemala, they are on top of it, bringing that to lead to a better life and to provide hope and healing for all kids. It's powerful. Well, for our Bible study here, as we enter this week of Advent, our collective anticipation for the incarnation, which is God in flesh here, and the expected joy of celebrating Christ, it can cloud us from being present in our current surroundings, from seeing God in our current preparatory status, right? We're so busy running around maybe this week and getting ourselves ready for next week that we miss some of the true joy that God's hoping would well up in us. Well, in Matthew's gospel this week, we're reunited with John and his disciples who, despite having baptized Jesus and seemingly being aware of his divinity, they have doubts of Jesus as Messiah. And so they ask him here, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" They had their eyes open. They were looking. They were paying attention. Is this the Messiah, the newborn king? Well, John, who had been sent to prepare the way for the Lord and indeed had baptized the Lord, he is left seeking clarification as to the Lord's mission. What are we being called to? And Jesus' response to this question is simply to recount the impact of his ministry thus far with a command to John's messengers. Go tell John what you hear and see. With the messengers satisfied, Jesus goes on to offer praise to John, who remains in prison. Understanding that many of those in the crowd had sought out John's teachings, Jesus asks, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at?" What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? Let's read here Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who's to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who does not take any offense to me." Church, did you catch that? Go tell John what you hear and see. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what the Jesus community is doing. This is what they're giving their lives to. The blind are receiving the sight. The lame are walking. The lepers are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. These are incredible acts of life. Well, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Here we are, folks. A testimony leading to a testimony, pointing to John, who's the one who prepared Jesus to arrive and to begin these good and faithful works. Well, what do you think the messengers from John expected to see when they came to Jesus? And what do you think John expected them to see? Do you think they expected acts of healing? Do you think they expected somebody to be laying low and humbly washing feet? I think not. Most were expecting a king, an earthly king, a powerful king, a ruling class. And what they see is a son of a carpenter. When they look upon him, many question, can he be that one? Because he's counter to everything that we would have expected. Now, John tells John messengers to go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news. When have you witnessed this kind of healing? Where is that happening in our world today? When have you received this kind of healing in your own life? When have you shared the news of this kind of healing? Where do you see God's activity most happening in the world? Do you see God on the move through you in this church? Does God see us on the move? Are we united in mission? Are we being moved by God's Spirit? Is Jesus at work? You know, for John's followers, hope was found in the unexpected places. So what are some of your hopes that looking back maybe have been buried? Do you have hopes that have been buried, things that you gave up on long ago? And how has God's grace or neighbor's love helped you to rediscover that lost hope? How has God's grace or a neighbor's love helped you to rediscover that lost hope? You see, that's where I think the gem, the diamond in the rough emerges here. We rediscover it through being loved, by receiving grace, by somebody coming and picking us up and reminding us that we too are worthy. We too are worthy. We are God's people and God's kids. Now, something magnificent I want to share about John the Baptist. And just kind of take all this in here for a moment. You see, fashion starts with a single purpose, to turn people's heads. At first, the new look is a shock, right? Many say, wow. Some say, ugh. whether it's skirts or long skirts or nose rings or earrings or paisleys or pastels, shiny new shoes, Crocs, whatever it is, the new stuff stands out and gains attention. Well, John the Baptist, when he burst onto the scene, he was something new. And he certainly stood out from his surroundings. Though he could have been a priest like his father, he exchanged those linen robes for a garment of coarse camel's hair. He took to the wilderness, scavenging grasshoppers and wild honey, rather than settling in Jerusalem where he could have savored a portion of the offerings people presented to God. John's unusual style helped direct attention to his burning message. The Messiah was about to arrive, and people must change their ways. Crowds flocked to hear John, and he baptized them in the Jordan River as a sign of their repentance. Thus, he got that nickname, John the Baptist. No less in authority than Jesus said that John was as great as any man who had ever lived. In the same breath, Jesus added that the lowest ranking person in the kingdom of God, now drawing near, was even greater than John. Although John represented the best of the old order, the new order of God's kingdom would outshine his greatness by far. John had no difficulty accepting this comparison. When he saw Jesus, he recognized the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He considered himself unworthy even to untie his sandals. John the Baptist did not intend to attract attention to himself. Rather, he was always pointing to Jesus. When Herod Antipas arrested and executed John, most of John's disciples followed Jesus. It took a long time, however, for some who lived in far-off parts of the world to get the full message about Jesus. They too quickly adopted the Christian way. Despite John's great influence, it was a mark of his success that he left no distinctive church of his own. You see, his followers, the ones that he had prepared for Jesus, those followers were ready for Jesus. And so how can your lifestyle help prepare people for Jesus? How can your good works, how can the light of Christ shining in your life point to this Christ child, this newborn king? And what difference will that make, both for you and for others? Let's pray. God of perpetual presence, calm our minds, renew our hearts, and remove the barriers from our eyes, so that we may not cloud ourselves from you with our own desires and expectations. Help us, like John, to always point to you. We ask this in the name, the life-giving and the loving name of Jesus. And God's people say, amen. All right, folks, stay thirsty, my friends. Prepare the way for the Lord.